Just the drive into church this morning, it was just like, man, God was, he is just at work, and he's at work all around us, and I'm just so very thankful for him. And as I started a sermon series within a sermon series, I guess I called it last week. It's, you know, the more I'm into this end times where God is leading me, I'm really starting to realize this is just really how we're supposed to live our lives until the end, right? I mean, we're supposed to live our lives in such a way as though today could be our last. I mean, to live our lives, as I shared last week, for such a time as this. And, you know, I get it. The world in which we live is, it's crazy. You know what? It's always been crazy. Maybe we're just becoming more and more aware of God, and we're becoming more and more aware of the need for God out in the world in which we live. So I want to continue this week from the book of Romans chapter 12. And as I've been reflecting this week on what God wants from us, his children, and as I said, for such a time as this, which was a scripture from the book of Esther, I believe in my spirit there is definitely a movement of God happening right now. I mean, I would also say, unfortunately, not all Christians in our world see the same things. You see, when I say that the lines of Christianity have become blurred, and I see them becoming more and more blurred and more blurry, one of the biggest problems in our world today is not the world. It is not the world. One of the biggest problems in our world today is that Christians look more worldly than they do followers of Christ. We are living in the end times. Amen? Amen. We are. When I read to you from God's Word, in God's Word in 2 Timothy 3, it says this: "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them." When I read that, my heart is so heavy and grieved. My heart is so heavy and grieved as I stand before you this morning. Because as we look at the end times that we are living in right now, our attention goes to things like the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, and lots of other things. But did you know that the Bible said that in the end days, that the world would appear to be without truth? That truth, God's Word said that truth would actually seem to disappear. Isaiah 5:20 says, Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Church, we are living in this time. We are living in this time. Isaiah 59:15. What's it say? Truth is nowhere to be found. And whoever shuns evil becomes prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. Church, I believe we are living in these times right now. Today. We live in a world that doesn't want God. They don't want God, and they certainly don't want to hear His truth. And those who speak God's truth, God's word said in Isaiah, they would be attacked. They would be attacked. They would be censored, right? God's truth will be called hate speech in our world. Because we are living in a world that truly hates God's truth. Now I know what you're I know that what we are seeing right now is a nice revival happening. It's happening. And I pray daily that it stays around for a little while longer. I pray that it stays for a long time. But I am here to tell you that God's word says that there would come a day when the world would call evil good and good evil, that the world would be absent of His truth, and that anyone who stands for His truth will be attacked. That there would be a form, this is something that should get our attention. God's word says that in the end days there will be a form of godliness, but it would be absent of power. I mean, that's the thing. Can you imagine? We come here and we praise God and we're like, man, I'm worshiping God, but do we have power? You see, church, I'm here to tell you that we are in that day, this day, right now. But knowing that we are living in this day, how should God's church respond? How should the followers of Jesus Christ be responding right now, today? Today, now more than ever, I believe in all my heart. At least for my lifetime of 54 years. Today more than ever, right now, the followers of Jesus Christ should be walking like Christians. We shouldn't look like the world. Today more than ever, a Christian better start walking like the one that they believe in. There shouldn't be no, wouldn't you agree, there shouldn't be no blurred lines? But there's blurred lines everywhere. We've actually decided what God will accept and what He won't. I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of things that Christians are doing right now that God is not and will not accept. The lines have gotten blurry, they've gotten muddy, it's gotten ugly. And then we wonder why a world is not drawn to the church. Because maybe Christians aren't walking like Christians. Maybe Christians are walking like the world. And there is no power in that. There's no power in it. There is no power at all. So maybe you're asking right now, what does walking like a real Christian look like? And are we representing Christ well? It's a great question. Ask myself that all the time. That is what we are called to do in the Word of God, to examine ourselves every single day. And the more you examine yourself, I guarantee you, the more sinful you're going to look some days. But that gives me hope, and it gives me a reason to continue to fight and try to be more and more like Christ. I'll stand before you and I'll tell you, I don't get it right most days. But I want to get it right. I don't want to look like the world in which we live. If you haven't already turned, I want to read to you again from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with who? Everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, church, but overcome evil with good. Walking like a Christian, right here, right here. The first thing in walking like a Christian, it requires you to write this down. Not really, but I'm asking you to write this down in your notes. And that is, I must walk in love. In order to walk like a Christian, I must walk in love, okay? So God's Word gives us the foundation of the way that we walk in love. God's Word is the foundation of why we walk in love. And it says what? It says that our love must be a sincere love. Okay? It's a sincere love. It's not contingent on what somebody's doing for me or don't do for me. Now, I get it. I mean, that's how we operate. That's how many of us were raised up in our lives. And God says, no, that's not the proper way to love. No, our love must be a sincere love, meaning that our love must be authentic and without hypocrisy. Okay? That means in our marriages, that means in everything. Okay? I want you to know that this kind of love cannot be achieved by your own doing. You can't just say, you know what, I'm going to start loving that way. You can't do it. No. I thought I was a pretty all right person before I came into contact with a living God through Jesus Christ. And I look back at the way that I loved before Christ, and it's nothing. It doesn't look anything like the way I love today. Because you can't love the way God wants you to love without Jesus being the center of your life. Not at all. It's not possible. You can't do it. The flesh will overtake things, right? This love, this sincere love, it is a love that is empowered through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, right? It is a love that is manifested through our actions, not just saying that we love. You know, I remember all the time hearing my wife and many people tell me all the time, talk is cheap. No, you know, I can't just tell her that I love her. I need to show her that I love her. How many times, I can't even tell you how many times before I was a Christian that I would tear her down and the next day say, I love you, forgive me. You know, you wanted that instant gratification, right? It's like, hey, can we just make everything go away and start over and I love you? And then all of a sudden, it's just like I'm sure God saying to us right now, would say to us right now, look, talk is cheap. You say you love me. You say you love me, but you look just like the world. So if you love me, then you would obey my commands. That's what Jesus said. If you love me, you'd obey my commands. If you love me, you would walk the way I've asked you to walk. You see, I was thinking, and you know, and again, I don't know if you saw it, but I'm sure you did. It's everywhere in our world. This Erica Kirk stand before millions of people and say that she forgives her husband's killer, right? And I just want you to know that just doesn't happen. It doesn't. It doesn't happen without an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It just doesn't. And I thought about that. And I look back on my life when I saw that and I said, you know, I've forgiven some pretty awful people in my life. But what she did to me is next level. You know, I've never had somebody actually take one of my loved ones' life. And then I thought about it. That's exactly how a Christian, a true follower of Jesus Christ, should be responding, right? I mean, we're talking days after her husband was killed. And I thought, is it easy? Not a chance. It's not easy. It's not easy to love that way. You see, church, when we walk like a Christian in love, we hate what is evil and we cling to what is good. That's what God's Word says. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. So in order to walk like a Christian, we have to really get intentional. Wouldn't you agree? We have to get intentional about hating what is evil. I think that's one of the biggest things, the biggest problems in Christianity today. And the reason why Christians look like the world is because they don't hate evil. Oh, we say we do. We say we hate evil. But we have got to get to a place of being intentional about hating what is evil. We have got to hate what is wrong. Okay? And anything evil, by the biblical definition, right, is anything that is against God. Anything that is against God. You see, now I will say this. We got to hate what is evil, before I move on, while still maintaining a compassion and a love for the lost soul. Okay? Basically, as I said last week, you hate the sin, but you love the sinner, right? You hate the sin, you love the sinner. Okay, Jude 17 through 23 says this, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh." Okay, that's pretty simple, black and white, right? So when we're walking like a Christian, our love must be sincere. And if our love is sincere, then we will hate what is evil and we will cling to what is good. But there's a huge problem. There's a huge problem in our world for sure. But here's what I feel God wants me to tell you this morning. This is also a bigger problem in the Christian faith. We should expect it out of the world in which we live. But it's a huge problem in the Christian faith. You see, when God's Word says, hate what is evil, we should hate the wrong acts of people, right? We hate the wrong acts of people, but we don't hate the people. You don't hate the people. I want to make sure that I'm very clear on that. There is nobody, no matter what ugly thing they've ever done, we should never hate a person. You hate what they've done because it is sin. Okay? Now, here's one of the biggest problems, though. One of the biggest problems is we need to exercise that in our own lives. We should hate what is evil. We shouldn't do it. We shouldn't invite it into our lives. We should not do those things. We should see sin coming against us, and we should hate it so much that we go to battle against it. It shouldn't be coming into my life, and it shouldn't be coming into my marriage, and it shouldn't be coming into my family, at least not through me. If I truly hate what is evil. But the reality is, as you sit here and I stand here, there are Christians all over, maybe in this sanctuary, that don't hate what's evil. We actually love dabbling in it. We love dabbling in that sin. Oh, but I'm a child of God. I'm covered. I'm covered by the blood. Doesn't matter if I fall short. The reality is, yeah, you're going to fall short. And even whenever you put on the full armor of God, you're probably going to fall short. But we should be doing everything that we can in our power to be fighting the evils in this world. And it starts with me. It starts with me. I can't let it come into my heart. I can't let it come into my mind. I can't let it come into my life. Do you understand there's more divorce in Christian marriages today than there is in our whole world? It's because marriages are not hating evil. Bottom line, they're letting that crap come into their lives. They're letting that crap come into their marriages and destroy. We understand that the enemy, his only goal is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his motives. And he's doing a daggone good job of it in our world. But the reality is, I have the power to fight him off. I am not subject to him and his attacks. I do not have to fall to those things because I've got the power of Jesus Christ living inside of me. And you do too if you're a Christian. You see, to walk like a Christian, we have to truly hate what is evil. We must hate what is evil so much that we don't allow evil to come into our lives. We must hate sin so much that we don't want any part of it. Right? We are to hate evil. We're to hate sin. We're to hate wickedness in all its forms. Amen? We are. And the thing is, as I said last week, biblical hate is what we're talking about. You see, biblical hate involves completely rejecting and turning away from the things that God detests. We must hate the evil acts and the sin of men and women in the world, but maybe more importantly, we need to hate them in our own lives. That's huge. I mean, you want to know why the world in which we live looks at the church and calls us a bunch of hypocrites? It's because we're going out there and we're claiming the blood of Christ, and we're going out there and we're loving the world. And we're loving all the things that the world has to offer. All the things that the world has to offer that goes against God. It's vitally important to understand, church. We need to hate what is evil. Church, friends, please hear me. You need to hate sin so much that when it comes, and it's going to come, right? It's going to come and it's going to present itself to you. You need to rebuke it out of your life. You have to be ready to stand against it. And as you're hating that sin, make sure that you're clinging to Jesus. Clinging to Jesus, because you cannot, I promise you, as God, as my witness right now, you cannot do it without Him. You can't. You've tried. You've tried to do it in your own strength. I've tried to do it in my own strength, only to fall time and time and time again. That's because you're trying to do it yourself. You cannot overcome evil. You can't hate evil unless you're clinging to Jesus. So when we're stumbling, falling, and we're going, golly, I can't believe I'm here again, maybe it's time to grab a hold of Jesus a little bit tighter and start letting Him do what He does in empowering us to overcome these things. So church, also just one last thing to say on that. When we walk like a Christian, I believe we need to be devoted to each other. We need to be devoted to each other. Christians are to be devoted, according to God's word, to each other, right? We look out for each other. We celebrate with each other, right? We celebrate when there's things to be celebrated. If God does something good in your life, I'm here to celebrate with you. And when things aren't going great, I'm here to grieve with you too. You see, that's the reality of a Christian family. We do life together. We were never intended to do it on our own. Never. But yet we do it on our own every single day, right? And then you go, well, you know, I got God. That's all I need. Well, but yeah, but God ordained the church to be your brothers and sisters in Christ, to walk through life with you. God did that. That's not something that some man just decided, you know what, let's just make this church thing and make it a moneymaker and do all that. No, that's not what church is. No, church is, God intentionally created the church because He knew that we needed each other to walk through life with each other. Next, walking like a Christian requires us, I must walk in His love daily. I must walk in His love daily, from verses 11 through 16. Now, I know I've said this before, and I want to stress it once again, especially in the times that we are in. Our Christian walk is not a sprint race. Okay? It's not a sprint race, because it truly is a journey. And for that reason, God's Word encourages us to what? Never be lacking in zeal. If there's one compliment somebody could ever gives me, you know, and I'm hanging out with them, they go, you know what? You are the same everywhere. Yeah, I mean, you just got this fire about you. Yeah, you want to know why I got that fire about me? Because God put it there. God truly put it there. And that doesn't mean that I don't mess up and I don't say the wrong thing sometime or anything like that. But I got a fire that's living inside of me that cannot be contained. And it will not be contained. So God's Word says, as you're walking like a Christian, you need to do it every single day. Never be lacking in zeal. When you go to work, I get it. Sometimes it's hard to go to work, isn't it? It's like, man, I got to go back to that place again. But for a Christian, it should be like, man, I get to go back to that place again. I know. Maybe I don't like it. Maybe I want God to open up another door. Whatever it may be. But I should never be lacking in zeal. And the Bible says, and keep the spiritual fervor while serving the Lord. Well, can I ask you a question? How often are you serving the Lord? Well, you know, I went and I served the homeless. And you know, I'm preaching to you guys now. And well, you know, I was at that hospital room. Let me just tell you. Colossians 3:23, it's my life verse for a reason. Because God changed my life through that verse, first off. The Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as though working for the Lord, not for men. So I ask you again, when are you serving the Lord? All day, every day, right? All day, every day. There's no breaks. There's no breaks from God. You know, there was a time whenever, you know, I think, you know, Tracy and I, we like the cruise. It's very cheap and all that good stuff. I think I'm going to have to start having church services on the cruise. I don't know how I'm going to get it done, but I'm going to get it done. Because the reality is, church, you don't get a break from God. You know what? You come together with brothers and sisters just like God intended for it to happen. And you make it a priority, right? Because God said make it a priority. And because we have such zeal for the Lord, we have zeal and we have spiritual fervor for His Word and everything that He's doing, it should just consume us and it should come out of us, right? And wherever it is that life takes you, you should have it. Okay, no matter what. And you have compassion. And I get it. I've struggled with that a lot of times, you know, because if anybody's been around me long enough to know, they know that I like to compete. And I take it seriously. And I tell you, God has really been working on me through my coaching, through anything and everything that I have, that I got to look across those lines and I've got to have compassion for the person that I'm competing against. It's not about just beating them and tearing them down and ripping them through the mud like competition does. It's about loving them in the midst of the competition and having a fire that is above the win or the loss. Having this spiritual fervor and this zeal, right? I think we can all agree that we should be serving the Lord all day, every day. And to serve, and as you serve the Lord, you need to serve the Lord with zeal and spiritual fervor. And just so we understand, to be zealous is to have great energy and enthusiasm, right? That's what being zealous is all about. Spiritual fervor means, right, to have an intense, passionate enthusiasm for your faith and for God's plan for your life. You see, I don't see that a lot in the Christian faith. It grieves me. It really does. Don't get me wrong. I think we are very good at inserting God into what we want to do. You know, whether it's sports or you know, it's like, hey, I want to go to the game this Sunday instead of that. You know, so hey, I'll take God with me. You know, I'll go and pray before I tailgate. But in a Christian, walking like a Christian, it really should be about having a fire for God's plan. Finding out what God's plan is for you, rather than us doing life and saying, hey, you know what, God, won't you just come along with me? And by the way, bless me while I'm here with a victory. Or bless me with a win. Just really doesn't work that way. We should be zealous and we should have spiritual fervor for the Lord and His plan for our lives every single day. You see, church, believers are called to be active in their service to the Lord, not lazy in their spiritual lives. And to be honest, I really believe in our world, I see a lot of lazy Christians that are not on fire for God. They love His blessing, don't get me wrong. Who wouldn't? Sign me up for that, by the way. Right? But we should be on fire for the Lord and His message all day, every day. It should consume us. It should consume us wherever life takes us. So let me ask you, do you, when you wake up in the morning, do you wake up zealous and full of spiritual fervor for the day, you're like, man, I'm barely getting my eyes open. Maybe I should send out a little recording for you that could be your alarm. I think I could get you fired up. I really do. I think I could get you. I think if my voice was the first one you heard, it could get you fired up. Don't worry, I won't do that. Tracy would be like saying, that's weird. That's weird, John. What do you say that for? Church, walking like a Christian truly is, though, I will say this from my journey, and I don't know how many days I got. I really don't. But I can say this about the journey that God has had me on to this point in my life. And that is this. My journey has been full of excitement and expectation of what God is going to do each and every day. It really has. I love seeing Him at work in the people around me. I don't know if I was just awakened to this or what it was, but you know, I'm really starting to feel this call on God. You know, my job to be here with you and to love on you and to build you up. It's so that you'll go. You know, people ask us all the time. They're like, "Hey, Pastor, what's your vision for the next 5 years?" I don't know what it is for the next 5 minutes. Truly. But so many people have gotten so consumed with hey, Pastor, where is this church going? Where do you see it in 10 years? You know where I see it in 10 years? Right where God wants it to be. I can tell you this, that God has empowered me and He has shown me that my job is to make sure that you're built up so that you go out and be His hands and feet. In your lives, in your families, in your workplaces. You know what? I can't go with you every day to your workplace. I would, though, if you invite me. I'd love to see what you do. But the reality is, I want you to walk like a Christian into work tomorrow. I want to build you up. I want to encourage you to be that man and woman. Because that man and woman changes lives, changes atmospheres. Not only that, that man or woman, they are the ones building the kingdom in our world. It is so important to be those men and women, to be zealous and to be full of spiritual fervor, as God's word says. God's word also says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, right? This will require you to a steadfast joy, right? A steadfast joy in the future hope. That's the thing. A steadfast joy, not in what today is. How can, you know, I think about the world in which we live, and I think about some of the things that I've been through in my life and in my ministry. And if I was to sit here and go, man, you know, God tells me to be joyful, but this just isn't joyful. I don't believe God's saying, hey, be joyful in that awful thing. He's saying, keep your eyes on the future, and that will make you joyful, John. That will make you joyful. Because I know where I'm going when I leave this place. And it's much better than here. It's going to be in the presence of God. That's what brings me joy. Your circumstances don't bring you joy. We could sit here and talk about circumstances all day long, and you're like, man, I've had the roughest week. I've had to deal with these kids, or I have to do, you know, whatever it may be. And the reality is, we're not like thankful for the awful things that are happening, but we can be joyful. Why? Because we know it won't last forever. Because one day, whenever that day is, one day I will be in the presence of God forever and ever. And there's nobody, nothing that can take that away from me. We're to be joyful in hope. Hope, right? Hope. Does anybody here have hope this morning? Yeah. Be joyful in hope. One of the ways we can remain joyful in our Christian walk is to keep our eyes on Jesus and that future hope. Hebrews 12, 2 through 3, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, right, who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Christians should not grow weary and lose heart if we're focusing on Jesus. We understand that this is just a part of it. Is it awful? Yeah. And sometimes it hurts like heck to go through. But we realize that, hey, we're just experiencing what our Savior experienced. And then when we face hardships and discouragement, it is so easy to lose sight of the big picture, right? It is. We get so bogged down with the here and now, right? But what is the big picture? If I could ask you that this morning. What is the big picture? Is it the completion of a season? Is it the completion of a year? What is the big picture? The big picture for a Christian should be eternity. Eternity. Eternity should drive everything that we do here on earth. Knowing that that day could come today. Maybe it'll come in 20 years. I don't know. But I know that I have that to look forward to. So walking like a Christian will require us also to be patient in our endurance through trials, right? So when you became a Christian, did you really think that your life would be void of trials and tribulations? If you were taught that, please give me the name and number of the pastor, because I'd like to have a word with him. Because what he did is set you up for a lie. Because there's nowhere in the Bible that says trials and tribulations go away when you become a Christian. In all honesty, I would say they become more and more. They become more and more frequent as I walk with Jesus. There is no doubt in my mind as I've been walking with him for a long time now. And it doesn't get easier. But I do become a lot more aware of the fight that I am in. And I lean on Jesus a whole lot quicker today than I ever have. James 1, 2 through 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance, church, must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, that's a beautiful promise of God. And the reality is you cannot, I am also fully convinced that you cannot know the depth of your Christian character until you see how you're going to walk through life's tribulations. You don't know. You know, I think about Christians all the time coming to me and they're like, man, my life has just been great. I said, you ain't experienced it yet. You know, yeah, this following Jesus thing, it's easy. You know, church on Sunday at 10. You know, maybe I'll throw in a Bible study. You know, man, everything's great. But the reality is, 2 to 3 hours a week, that's when they're actually following Jesus. The rest of the time, they're in the world and of the world, so they're not experiencing any hardship. Right? Church, the reality is God wants us to be mature and complete men and women of God. That means there will be trials and tribulations. There's going to be things that we cannot get through on our own. We can't, but He is working on us, and I can promise you that He will continue to work. And I'll say this, don't lose sight of the goal. Eternity is the goal. When we, you know what? I believe there is going to be a huge fire of revival that will happen in our world when Christians realize that truth. That this life isn't the goal. Eternity's the goal. When I buy into that, if I could say that, can I say that, Lord, buy in? When I buy into eternity as the goal, and I don't hold on to this life the way that I do hold on to this life, I am going to be a force to be reckoned with. Because every person that I meet is going to hear about Jesus. And I don't care what they think about me. I don't care if it's a put off. They need to hear about Jesus. Your coworkers need to hear about Jesus. Your family needs to hear about Jesus, because the reality is, if they don't know Jesus, they don't go to heaven. That's the reality. I can guarantee you there's not going to be one person in heaven that was a good man or a good woman without Jesus, because there is no such thing. There is no such thing. Walking like a Christian means that we should be faithful in prayer. I'll leave that at that. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Church, in order to walk like a Christian through life's difficult times, in order to walk like a Christian and keep eternity as the goal, we need to be in constant communication with God. Wouldn't you agree? We need to be constantly connected to God. It says, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality in verse 13. We are called to meet the needs of our brothers and sisters in faith, in the faith. We are called to actively look for opportunities and welcome and serve strangers. You know, something that came to me when I was resting in this part of the scripture this week, and that is this. I think a lot of times we don't get me wrong, my walk is an individual walk everywhere I go, right? I mean, it's your walk is an individual walk, but I think we need to have our eyes opened in the community in which we live. We need to be looking where there is a need, and then I need to invite my church family to help me fulfill the need. You see, I mean, because it can get so overwhelming, right? I mean, when I'm out there and I'm going, golly, this person needs a house. How am I going to be able to provide a house? You know? But the reality is, it's not just for me. We're to share with God's people who are in need, right, with each other. And then we're to practice hospitality both in the church and outside. And we need to be actively looking for opportunities. Are you actively every day looking for an opportunity to join God where He's at work? That should be the first thing that we do. You know, I mean, too many times we are bogged down with our own schedules and our own calendar that we put down, and we don't have time to look up from that schedule. And I am guilty of that. But I can tell you, I could go show you my calendar. There was a lot of things scheduled, and there's a lot of things that didn't get done because God had a different plan. We need to be about God's business. Let me ask you, is anyone here blessed this morning? Yeah? Why do you think God blessed you? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought, why did God bless me? Why did God bless me so much, right? Well, let me tell you, I can tell you that He hasn't blessed you to keep it all to yourself. The Bible's very clear on that. You're not supposed to keep it just for yourself. It's not, God doesn't bless you so that you can build your kingdom here. No. No, He blesses you to make His kingdom known through your giving and through your acts of service out in the world in which we live, to your neighbor that's in need, right? Or somebody who knows who you're going to meet today that's in need, right? You see, walking like a Christian requires me to live with my hands open. It was one of the hardest things for me as a man. It was one of the hardest things as God brought me into the ministry. And I'll never forget, one time I went into the senior pastor and we had this building project going on. And all of a sudden we were falling short. So the pastor calls the staff in, and I was on the staff. So I sat down and I'm like, just any other old staff meeting. Woo! You know, hey, let's get our marching orders for the week. And this is exactly what he says. He goes, hey, I need to know something. There's a reason why we're falling short on this project that we claim God wanted us to do. And then he said, are you guys giving? Are you giving faithfully? And I'm sitting there going, I don't like this meeting all of a sudden. But it really hit me. Because that's when I realized God calls us, He blesses us, not for me to have more. He blesses me so that I can be His hands and feet in His kingdom work. See, church, it's so vitally important that as we walk like a Christian, we live with our hands open. I've told this story many times. But I go into my garage and I open up my toolbox and there was three circular saws. Makes sense, doesn't it? It doesn't. It's so little and trivial, I get it. But I have one hand that can do one saw. Why do I really need three? But I have them. That's when I realized, wait a minute, somebody else must need a circular saw. It can be very little, it could be very big. I don't know what your circumstances are. I don't know how God has blessed you or in your life, but I know He's blessed you to be a blessing. To be a blessing to the people around you. God's word says, and I need to wrap this up and we'll just get back to it next week. God's word says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. That's where we'll pick up next week, actually. The bottom line is, if I want to walk like a Christian, I need to walk in God's love, and I need to do it every day. Church, I think we got to get really good. We got to get really good at hating what's evil. And I'm not saying, well, I'm a Christian, you know, yeah, I do a lot of things wrong. No, that's not hating what is evil, my friends. No, if it goes against what God wants of your life, then it's evil. It's got to go. It's got to go. You got to hate it. You got to get rid of it. That's what God's word is saying. You got to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. We're going to pick up there next week. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we just thank you for your word. And God, maybe I'm sorry sometimes that I get a little long-winded. But God, your word has impacted me and it's impacted us in a way that it just cannot be denied. God, I pray that your word today continues to hit us right where it hurts throughout this week. God, that we would make you a priority in our lives, in our homes, in our families. Everywhere we go, God, help us to remember that we are called to hate what is evil and be compassionate to all people, to love everyone, but we don't love what they do. And God, I'm even more aware today, and I pray that you make us aware that that starts in my own life. That I need to hate the sin that I do and I invite into my life. I need to hate it so much that it makes me sick and it causes me to be different. But God, we can't do it without you. So I ask in Jesus' name that you would consume us with your Spirit. God, that you would continue to pursue us the only way that you can and the way that you do. Pursue us and love us and continue to spur us on to being the men and women you have created us to be. God, we love you. And I pray that our love for you will be proven and shown through the way we live. We give this day to you, and we give our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? Woo!